Hi, my name is Alex Donaldson, and I will be conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust and the One Another Project. The date is the 26th of July 2009. If you could please state your full name, your age, if that's okay, and where you're from.
I'm Sue Quatermass, and I'm 49 years old, and I'm from Glastonbury in Somerset.
And how are you doing today?
I'm fine. I'm a bit nervous now I'm here, but also quite excited. So, yeah, it's good to be here.
So how did you initially hear about the project?
I saw it online somewhere, advertised, I'm not sure where, but somewhere in my computing around the world, it came up, and I just thought, that's really interesting. So.
And what actually inspired you to put yourself forward?
Nothing at the time. I just thought, oh, well, that sounds good, and it's anti-normally project, that'd be really interesting. And I just pressed apply without kind of thinking of the consequences. And when it came up with my name, I was like, oh no, now what? And at first I thought I was going to reject it, but then I just figured, okay, be with it, see how it feels, settle into it, see what ideas are there, and take it as an opportunity. So.
And how did you feel when you actually first saw that you had been accepted?
I had a radio interview about this yesterday, and do you know what I said? I went, it was a bit like that. I just sort of went, oh my God, what am I going to do? Yeah. It was it was one of those, so yeah, it was fine. Yeah, I think and then I had to remember to breathe after that. So it was one of those. It was true.
Oh God. So what do you do in life?
Okay, I'm currently a community development worker. So I go out into grassroots organisations and help get project money for funding for arts events and for youth clubs, that kind of thing. So that's my day job. In my other life, I'm an artist, and I trained as an artist, went to art college. But since coming out of art college, I got involved in putting art out into the environment in spaces where you wouldn't necessarily see it. And that was in 2001, I started doing that in Sussex. And then I started work, and unfortunately my day job takes so much of my creative energy. It's pumping it out to get into other people's organisations to get things off the ground. And so my own artistic and creative activity has taken a backseat. But more recently I bought a kiln. I love ceramics. I make little tiny ceramic figures, and so I'm going to start doing that again. And my work comes to an end at the end of August, and I'm really excited because I moved to Glastonbury a couple of years ago looking for where I really wanted to live. What inspired me about the landscape there was and the goddess and the shapes that are in the landscape and the mythology of the landscape, and it just, there's this huge creative community there as well. So that's kind of, there's these two sides really, that, you know, the day job and then the other side in on the back boiler. And there's something about this project that is very much about that for me, is bringing that more to the forefront and expressing that other side of myself, you know, not my day job.
So your day job, how long have you been doing that for?
Altogether, community development, about 5 years. So, but not with the same contract. I originally was in Sussex, and then I moved to Somerset.
And how did you initially get involved?
In community development work. And I used to volunteer when my kids were younger. I was a single parent, and I was just really poor. I used to get like food parcels at Christmas and stuff. I was so poor, and actually quite checked out when I look back on it. But I got involved in doing like community art projects, and it started to, something started to filter through about being more creative and who am I in my own creativity. And so I ended up going to art college in Hastings and just ceramics for 2 hours a week, because that's what I love, making how I felt in something. And then I just ended up going and doing my art degree over like part-time over 5 years. I was still a single parent. I struggled all the way through it. I used to retrieve things out of skips because I couldn't afford to buy materials. But it made me incredibly resourceful about how to use different materials. And also I learned about the language of materials as well. I loved it, you know. So, but all of that was all part of then being able to go back into a community. And I love helping maybe single parents, you know, and people that are kind of just on the poverty line, because I used to be like that, but something somewhere made a difference and I was able to come out of it, and I have a really good job, and I've had a really, it's almost like I've been turned inside out. Some part of me that was Sue is not, I'm not that anymore. Or maybe I'm just in a midlife crisis, who knows? I don't know, but that's a whole story there. So, yeah. You know, it's been an interesting journey.
And who have you been working with community development?
I work with a regeneration partnership in Burnham-on-Sea and Highbridge. They employed me. But I work with community groups, so I work with local halls that need maybe some input into the hall, and maybe we set up a community cafe, for instance, and we set up setting up lunch clubs, help get some money to refurbish a youth club. I do a lot of funding applications, because you just kind of speak the language, and I just something about me just speaks the language and sees out of the box and can see a way of, you know, you have to tick the boxes, but then you have to figure out how to create it in order to tick the box, or the tick the boxes there, and how you create your project around that. So I'm just on that level, you know. So I work with all sorts of people, amazing people, you know, volunteers usually, that are just kind of, you know, in their lives, and a lot of very poor people as well. And that, you know, I because I really resonate with that place, you know, still.
Mm. And do you remember there being a particular moment when your life started to turn around?
I think definitely going to Hastings Art College, just to discover and meet other people that were making, just being creative, and lots of older people that were just creating, not for the sake of being famous, but just wanting to express something of what they were feeling about their lives or their experiences. That made a difference to me, because I suddenly understood the struggle I'd had when I was younger, was I could never quite say what it was I wanted to say in language. And so I studied mythology and the stories of the world, and, you know, all the goddess stories from Glastonbury and things like that are amazing, all those mythologies. So I studied all of that. And there's something about the mythology of the human being that I'm interested in as well. And that was part of my own journey. It's like something just, it's like a seed was planted. You know, there's a creative energy and force that I'm part of, you know, and I access that. How do I access it? And so going to art college was huge. Meeting other artists, you know, and drawing and painting every day, and just freeing it up, you know, just playing again, just learning to play. Yeah. It's lovely.
And did you go down a particular artistic, did you use a particular artistic medium, or develop a certain style?
I struggled with a style, because medium, because I kind of was always drawn to, I used my body quite a lot, painted my body, I put myself in kind of performance situations, and then I started to discover certain materials that kind of said something, like an elastic band, for instance, contracts and expands, and there's something about that movement that links into something cosmologically, if you like, something much bigger than I am. So I used elastic, I knitted a dress out of elastic bands once, which was amazing. I called it a dress for daddy's girl. And you put it on and you were like, isn't it? But it was amazing, you know. It's just like the whole knitting process and cutting and wrapping. And so there's something about materials in general that just, it just calls. I don't know what it is, a seeing or knowing or some story that just catches my eye or catches my imagination. So I don't know, it's ineffable, I don't know. There's something else, it's something much deeper than I can really express in words what is there, you know. Very spiritual as well for me, it's a very spiritual experience. I get myself out of the way and then I become a channel for something. If that makes sense.
Yeah. What does spirituality mean to you?
Spirituality is about just being in my life, being present and being fully here. You know, not kind of checked out in the past or worrying about the future, but really energetically being fully present. And so something about, I've been learning over the last few years about energy healing and the energy body, and, you know, through Carlos Castaneda's work, that kind of thing. I've been through all sorts of transformational kind of workshops, work that I had to do on myself in order to set my energy free. Because I didn't realise how checked out I was, how shut down I was in my body. I was living in my head all the time and, you know, heady. And to actually come down into my body was a real revelation for me. And then working in clay. God, I love clay. It's just the most amazing material of the earth, you know. And I just really resonate with that material. So.
And metaphysically, where would you say you are at the moment?
I'm in a transition stage. I feel like I'm standing in a doorway, and my life so far has been very much about raising my children and outwardly focused on having a job and having to survival, really sort my own survival out and sort my own almost independence out. But I'm moving into a place now, I'm very menopausal, so that's kind of going on as well hormonally, but also I'm being drawn to do more healing work. I'm being drawn to contribute, not out there in the community so much, but in a very different way, and to work energetically and paint more. And so there's something much more creative to be birthed It's like, and there's a very ancient part of me that wants to come through, that knows, kind of has a lot of knowing about things. You know, I've had to go through a process of learning to trust as a woman, especially in a kind of culture where so much of the feminine is still repressed and kept down, you know, kept quiet, really. So.
And you said you were a single parent?
I was, yeah.
What kind of effect did that have on you? How do you deal with that situation?
I just grew up in survival mode. You know, it was scrimping and scraping all the time and feeling really so much self-worth wasn't there. It's just, I felt kind of, I was nothing really. I just felt really, I felt like I'd been written off at quite an early age. And I just hadn't any, I didn't know what to contribute to anything, you know. So then it was really difficult just not having any money to anything, you know, even clothes and that. But the other side of that taught me to be really resourceful and make things and grow things. And, you know, something about money that kind of cushions our lives in a way. When we haven't got it, it's like, oh, you know, what am I going to eat today? We have to get creative about our existence. And that really taught me about my own creativity. And then when I went to India, and you see it out there, you see the incredible poverty. They're so creative. They're so in this energy of light and creativity, and they know exactly what they're doing and what their role is in life and how to manifest that, you know, and yet they have nothing. And it's amazing, you know, and you're like, and the colours, and then you come back here to England. I remember when I came back from India and just seeing how shut down everything is. There's this kind of blanket of grayness that, do you know what I mean? Have you ever been to India? Yeah, it's that. I just thought, what am I doing here?
And when did you go to India?
It was about 6 years ago.
And how long were you there for?
Oh, just a couple of weeks. I went to see a guru.
Okay.
So that was
how
amazing.
Was that?
That was amazing. Yeah, 95,000 Indians and Indian people and a few kind of 100 Western people. So amazing.
And what a guru? What did he? Was it spiritually? What was he?
His name's Prem Rawat, his Maharaji, and he's just been somebody that has really changed my life too. You know, meeting kind of spiritual teachers, I think, is incredible. When we're open to learn something about ourselves that we don't know, and they're like mirrors, and they show us kind of what we need to see. So I've had quite a lot of different spiritual teachers, and they're all amazing. And it continues; it's an ongoing journey. So.
And in what way did he kind of open your eyes?
Well, I think he opened my heart. That's the thing. I got my heart open, you know, and a different place to reference my life from, you know, instead of being so shut down in my head so much. Suddenly this, I felt with my heart in a different way. I felt life in a different way. I felt part of life rather than shut off from things, like separate. You know, the feeling when we're kind of separate from everything. I felt sort of more able to kind of, it's like letting something in and also letting something out as well. So that he taught me that, you know, and love and learning to love and what love is. He taught me that. So,
and
very grateful.
You said that you've seen various other spiritual.
Yeah, we know Glastonbury is amazing. It's full of people that are, and we have some amazing people come in, just do workshops, give talks, and you know, there's so much that is changing in the world, you know, that it's very easy not to be aware of, but actually just by looking and seeing and talking to people, you realise the possibilities for the human being at the moment are actually really incredible. Just as a species, you know, on this planet, it's incredible. I got involved with the Be the Change initiative. I don't know if you've heard of that. They're amazing. I did their facilitator training, and that's about changing the dream of the North, changing this the dream of that we're consuming all the time, consuming, and how to come from a place where we know that we're all connected with each other. Everything on this planet is part of a big unfolding story, and it puts a whole emphasis on our responsibility towards the planet and each other. It's, you know, we're the same people. And with the planet is like our mother, it's where we live, you know, and we're part of her too, and all that. So that's what we'll be celebrating today, celebrating the goddess.
So yeah, so can we quickly talk about what you're actually planning on doing with your hour?
Okay, well, I've got some banners with me from the Goddess Conference, which starts today in Glastonbury. It's 26th of July, yep. And there are three banners that represent just different, the goddess energy, like archetypal energy, so they're like three different goddesses. And they're made by a lady called Lydia Rule, who makes these banners, and these banners travel to all different sacred sites around the world and celebrate the sacred feminine. So I was really lucky to be able to bring three of those, and I might do a little bit of a meditation as well to really centre and ground the kind of female energy sort of it here in London, and I brought my drum with me. So I'm going to read some poetry by a lady called Rose Flint, who writes the most beautiful poetry about life and love and goddess and all of that, so, and connection and ancestors. And I'm going to sing some songs and drum, and hopefully we've got some headdresses to give out that we've been making, and people will start circle dancing. That's the plan, it's to people to hold hands and dance with each other, or just even hold hands, or just even look at each other and go, I know you, even though maybe I don't know you, I know you, where do we connect, you know? So I think that's important. So that's a celebration today of life and the goddess and what she brings, and especially in somewhere that's so concrete as this. You know, it's like I notice all the trees are out, everything's outside of the square. And so we're going to circle the square, circle dancing in the square.
And what do you think about the importance of bringing the feminine, well, energy, I suppose, or the essence of femininity into the square?
Well, you know, to my understanding, my experience of the feminine is that she's the creative intelligence of the universe. She is behind the creative everything that came into being, we're all part of. And so, and we are, as women, very creative. You know, we have womb power. We have a certain power that we can access and stand in a very, very amazing place in our lives. And I just think you see the Nelson's Column and, you know, the celebration of the masculine, which has had its place in patriarchal culture, you know, but unless we bring the divine feminine, unless we bring the sacredness back into life, which is the sacred feminine, back into life and into our hearts, the balance isn't there. You know, our whole culture is built on taking the earth. Everything's a resource, everything let's take from it, rather than what can we give back? What can we offer? What gifts do I have? You know, gifts of dance and song and making and growing and sharing stories. You know, all those kind of old tribal ways we've lost. We're disconnected from our ancestors in that way. You know, a lot of old tribal cultures, they live with their ancestors present. You know, they connect with them, and we just don't have that. And so there's something here, you know, it's like summon up the goddess and bring her here. And I think great as well, because obviously in Glastonbury you've got a huge amount of goddesses in town at the moment as well. It's really amazing. And all for the festival. And I just think it would be amazing to, to bring the feminine into this environment. I'd love to have got some top of Nelson's Column and put my little headdress on last night. Oh, no, fantastic. Just like a little like greenery and a few spits of corn and that, you know, a few flowers up there. Or grow, why don't they grow something up the column, you know? It'd be beautiful just to bring that back in, bring the life and earth back into this sort of environment.
Yeah.
It's too much concrete.
Absolutely.
So.
And can I just ask you, you said that you have two children?
Three
children.
Mm-hmm.
And how, I mean, does your way of thinking,
mm-hmm.
have you passed this down onto them?
Mm-hmm.
Have they received this?
Yeah. Oh, they think I'm a hippie. They've always thought I'm a hippie. But they don't really get the kind of creative... They saw me kind of go through this creative process, so I suddenly kind of got catapulted into art college and had my hair cut and did red and did this and did that, you know, like you do, and exploring what creativity is and how it affects us and our personal appearance and everything. But... they're much more accepting, and they think it's brilliant that I'm doing this. You know, it's like, but please, Mum, don't embarrass us. I'm like, look, I won't, I promise. Yeah, I know, they think that, because everybody says when you're going on the plinthing and do something with the goddess, the instant reaction is, are you taking your clothes off then? It's terrible, people have this, like, this is what goddesses do, how wonderful. But no, there's other ways to celebrate who she is, you know. And so maybe my kids seeing this as well will be really interesting for them. And they do have... Children are strange. I don't know if you found this yourself, but I know I did when I was a kid. We have gifts that our parents give us, but it takes a while to find them. We have to kind of grow into our own lives and then find something later on. And, you know, then I went back to art college when I was like 38, you know, so I had to wait that long to rediscover something about myself. So maybe they will find that too. But they're all amazing, and they'll have lovely hearts, and that's the most important. They're just amazing human beings, and that's what's important to me. So...
And the goddess, I mean, do you feel like there's part of her inside you?
Inside all of us, whether we're male or female, or animal, vegetable, mineral, whatever, we're all part of this amazing, this creativity that brought us here. You know, imagine all the things that the human beings have created. We were driving here today looking, my God, we made the lampposts and the signs and the this, and the things that human beings have created, all of this in order to to show something about the human being, or to provide something for us as human beings, you know. So she's there, she's in all of us, you know. And the feminine is about, for me, it's about the processes that we're in as human beings, that we can hold things, that there's not them and us anymore, or this and that, or black and white, but there's a way that things are held together. It's both this and that together, you know, male and female together, black and white together. There's a way to hold them both, you know, and to honour the sacred in all of life, in you, in me, in anything that has life. There's the sacred in the centre of that. We all from that. Mm. So that's the celebration.
Yeah.
It's Glastonbury speak for you, isn't it? Does it sound very Glastonbury,
it's
all
very,
of that? I can't help it. That's why I went there. You know, the lovely thing about Glastonbury is that you can talk about anything. And everybody hears what you say as well. There's just amazing conversations about all the kind of alternative viewpoints of everything there. And it's fascinating, fascinating place. Yeah, it's great.
So just to go back to your hour, what are you actually taking up with you?
I've got three banners in the Goddess Conference. I've got one pole thing to put them on, one by one. I've got a huge, great big www.goddessconference.com banner, which may not go anywhere. I'll see how it goes up there. But I thought about just laying it down at some point, because I know there's kind of a view feed, TV feed. So that might just happen at the end. I've got some headdresses to give out to people. And I've got my drum. And actually, I've just got myself.
And drumming?
Drumming.
Is that something you've been doing for a while?
Yeah, definitely. And there's something about the drum of the heartbeat that I really like. Kind of rhythm is slows everything down. You know, it's like if you ever done any meditation or anything like that,
yeah.
Where you kind of go inwards and you can hear your heartbeat in your little finger and... in others, and when we, you know, there's the heartbeat of the earth that we're all tuned into something on that resonant level. So the drum for me is just amazing. You know, it takes us into journeying and dance and, you know, places maybe we don't normally go. So that would be really lovely to that.
Yeah.
Not that I'm well practiced in it, but I know how to hold a rhythm. And some songs, we've been practicing some songs. Again, I don't do it all the time because I've got a day job like 25 days a week. Which doesn't include any of this. So on my days off, it's kind of a bit of drumming, but I love to dance. So anything that kind of gets the body moving rather than the mind, I think, is what it's about.
And what does music mean to you?
Oh, it's just, you know, music, and especially song at the moment as well, it kind of takes me out of myself into another space. You know, that experience where you just dance and you become the music and you become the sound and the sound moves. And suddenly we're in a whole different dimensional space, you know. So I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's like.
And what are you ultimately hoping to get out of this experience?
For me, a huge, huge experience about being seen. Absolutely, just being seen. And for, you know, I mean, in my day job, I kind of do all sorts of things, and it's quite often in the press and stuff like that. But that's the job that I do. It's not who I am. And so there's something about who the I am-ness that is being seen today. And that's been quite a process coming to that. It's been quite scary. But it's okay. You know, I'm kind of with it and scared at the same time. But yes, there's something about being seen and known. And that's something about the feminine as well. How do we see her and know her, you know? And what does she actually look like, you know? What did she used to look like? Because there used to be some amazing goddess statues and things around the world, you know, that quite often she's kind of big-breasted and hipped and everything. You think, wow, so not women aim to be at the moment, you know, aim to be this sort of skinny bean thing, and it's so different. So what is that all about, you know? What is this mother goddess and the big goddesses of the past? What do they represent in us now as 21st century women?
Yeah.
That's that kind of questioning that I have. And that's in myself as well, you know, who am I if I'm fully in my feminine, you know.
I find this really interesting. I mean, how do you find, between the masculine and the feminine, finding in a kind of equilibrium? Can I just ask you all?
I just find that there's a part of me, it's like, I suppose I look at it when I go to work, for instance, I'm much more in my masculine because I have to kind of manage this and do this and da-da-da-da-da. You know, when I come back from there, and I, you know, there's a certain thing you have to wear to the office or whatever, certain way of behaving in that world. You know, the feminine is, she's much more wild and earthy and deep and knowing, you know, and intuitive. And so it's like that relationship goes on in here, you know, it's like the right and left side of myself, you know, and she knows it on such a deep level. And the other side of me is kind of, well, I have to go out into the world and do this and be that for a while, but it's not who I really am. And so, yeah, it's a dialogue that we have with ourselves. Do you find that?
Yeah,
do you find
absolutely.
That? It's like the right and left side of your body, isn't it? And it's the dance between the two. And I think it's the only real dance, really, that we have.
Yeah.
So how do you?
I just find in London, London is an incredibly masculine place. And I find it's almost a constant struggle as a woman against that.
Yes, totally.
Yeah,
and that's where you need to get out and put your head, put your feet on the earth, and feel into the earth and feel and just go out and get into. We go out and get into nature, don't we? And light fires or go to festivals or whatever we. When you know when you've been to somewhere like Glastonbury Festival, it's just a whole different feeling, isn't it? It's just like wow, different energy that we experience. This landscape is very hard and very masculine, you know, and it's very, I think it's very tricky for women to live here, because we have to become masculine. Masculine in our thinking, where we dress, and our body language, and our thoughts, psychological process, and our psychic life, you know. But where does the rest of it then goes there, waiting? And so maybe like me, you know, early 40s, it comes back with a vengeance. Let me out! I've had enough, you know. So, yeah, it's good.
So what are you, future-wise, what are you planning on doing?
Future-wise, I'm signed up to do a healing course as from September with an amazing woman called Kathy Jones that does energetic soul healing. And that's something that I've always wanted to kind of focus some time on learning about, because it's already there in all of us, but the kind of, like you say, the techniques of something and just the patience and the practice of that. So I'm going to do that. And I'm actually going to make a lot more in clay, and I want to start selling my work. I've been painting recently as well, painting female figures, which are also animal as well, you know, the kind of the duality of that, of how we're also that animal too. You know, it's like the snob. It was great, actually, the hawk, the harrier hawk, which came right flying down before us earlier on. That's so lovely. It'd be amazing to be able to hold him on the plinth, would be brilliant. So there's something, yeah, there's something about that much more creative, much more living from that creative source, and less going into an office and feeling shut down and having to shut that down just for my survival, you know. So a whole different, yeah, there's, and you know, Glastonbury's really good for that. It's very cutting edge in the ways that people are changing the way they live. They live on the land, and there's lots of very alternative communities being set up, and eventually I'd like to do something like that. So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you too. I hope that was useful.